Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. Sunny is not here, and that's why I'm incompetently doing the intro. Sunny got home from his job at UPS and decided that Yu-Gi-Oh! Sucks, actually, and he doesn't want to talk about it anymore. So instead, I have someone who plays it more often than both of us combined. Trisha LaTTV is back.
let me go check my hours on Steam real quick for Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel. Let's see, 4,000 something on the main account. That doesn't even count my alts. I have 29 alts that I go on. They all have at least 10 hours.
I think I have 10,000 experience on Dueling Book, but my hours in Master Duel, I'm only at 140. So I have played literally a 40th of the amount of Master Duel that you have.
I am so happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so glad you don't have to get max seed every single day of your life.
Yes, just only about 5 of them, actually. now that we've gotten our Yu-Gi-Oh! Hours count.
That's the Yu-Gi-Oh! Section of the podcast.
I love that this should just be a perennial thing. Every month we could just be like, hey, what's the Master Duel hours at? And Sunny is going to say 12, and I'm going to say like 200, and you're going to say 12,000. And that's just...
Basically.
So before we get into meat, potatoes, games... I've got some sponsors to thank, and hopefully I remember all of them because this is usually Sunny's job. So firstly, a huge shout out to all of our sponsors. So ETB Games, and I immediately have forgotten what the other game store is. Sunny will put it in post. But for our, I don't live in Louisiana.
This is going so well.
It's going great. But I do remember all of our other sponsors, so huge shout out to Dragon Shield. They make fantastic sleeves and other products as well. They've got some cool Christmas stuff that's up. Shout outs to Tier Zero. I think they're still doing their like clean out sales. You might be able to get some bits and pieces there. And they also have Alien Smashers pre-orders up. Shout outs to Grimoire TCG. I've got their fantastic cloth mats here. Fantastic. Super pretty. I really love them. I used it at the charity event. God, it's been so long since I've played Dino, and it's too much fun. As well, shout out to TCG Player. We've got an affiliate link and Gem Accessories. And we actually do have a new sponsor. Shout outs to Chainlink Accessories. We will have a link in the description, code TOPCUT5 for 5% off. They've worked with some amazing artists. They've worked with Henry Magenta and Crush Cards, I believe. And they've also worked with Vincent Graphics Arts, if you've ever seen them on Twitter. Super fantastic stuff. There's a fantastic artwork up there right now. There's a wall flag that I'm seriously considering of Dia Bellstar holding like Rescue Ace fire hydrants like hose and spraying everybody down. It's beautiful. So definitely go check them out. They've got playmats, field centers. Their Jinzo field center is like $10 right now. The mat is also like, I think, 15. So super cheap if you want that. So that's all in the description. And as always, a huge shout out to all of our patrons who keep this place going and keep the lights on. Literally keeping the ring light on that I've got going on over here.
And keeping me constantly out of breath from the torturous laughter.
Yep, you've got me.
I don't think I've survived a single patron name reading so far. Yeah,
it's been one hell of a ride. There's one actually that we can't read that I will send to you later.
Oh no!
Somebody went a little bit too ham. We read the one that was about me, but yours was a little too crazy. So,
oh no.
On that note, content. So I guess just a little bit of Yu-Gi-Oh news. So TCG, the Fire King structure deck is now out. For those who are not aware, release events are happening this weekend. So if you're hearing this on Friday, check your local OTSs and see. This deck is going to be very good. It gets much better post another level one. I don't know. Do you know much about the Fire King stuff?
I don't know. If you've seen gosh. I know it's good. I haven't started testing with it yet. It's funny because I was I've been talking with a lot of people because I'm going to be playing in the 3v3 YCSs in Las Vegas for sure. I think Costa Rica maybe as well. More on that later. But those cards are expected to be very, very good for those events. So I'm starting to get into like that research development kind of phase of like testing and prepping for events. You know, like 2 months in advance as you do. but I know the Fire King deck is doing very well in OCG at the moment, so I know that it's like meant to be good. I just don't know like if we're missing anything still.
I personally love destroying cards. Where it's like I think impact wise it's going to be very good out the gate. Certainly not the best deck, but it's absolutely playable either as the Snake Eye version or the Dogmatica version. But come Phantom Nightmare, we get the Poplius, I think is what it's called, the little Snake Eye level one guy that just adds Ponix. It turns the Snake Eye engine into Ponix more directly. It gets you more advantage.
Is that what it is?
It's a little nasty after that just because of how consistent it is. Because right now it's a little weird.
Okay.
There's also there was a manga promo for Fire King that was revealed like yesterday. That's also in.
The girl, right? Like they once again, you know, made a good anime girl card.
We played the game, we know how this works.
Speaking of anime girls, do you want to talk about the new card, by the way?
Yes.
That was just revealed.
So we got like 12 cards, I think, over the last 2 days. Really, this is the only one that matters. Oil is kind of funny. It adds back two fires, I think.
That, it's like salvage. Yeah, it's literally salvage from fire monsters, and they're like 20 years late on it.
Yep. I love that. They're like, nobody is playing these cards, but you do get to have them. Do you have it pulled up? Do you want to read it, or I can, because I've got it here.
Why don't you start? Because I don't have it pulled up. I just know what it is.
Yeah. So this is the main new card that you should be looking at. Although there's a couple, we might talk about them next week. There's a couple that are like that have some interesting applications, but are not crazy. This one is a card that could see a lot of play. So this is a Moon of the Closed Sky. The artwork, it's basically mini Underworld Goddess. So it's Link 2 Light Fiend effect, 1200 attack. Arrows are pointing to the top and then to the top right. Most of the time it doesn't matter, but in this case it does. And it's just any two effect monster, so it's super generic. You can target one face-up monster, one face-up opponent's monster this card points to. This turn, if you link summon a Link 5 monster using this card you control as material, you can also use that opponent's monster as material, and then that's a hard once per turn. It's very telegraphed, but the effect is very strong. I've seen people have takes from all the way from this card sucks and nobody is going to play it to this is like an insane extra deck staple and everyone is going to play it. I don't know that both. I don't think either of those are true. It's hard.
I kind of agree with you. I think it's somewhere in the middle. You know, like I can do the Sunny thing because he's not here. I can fill in. So in Dragon Link, this card has a very cool application because you play a Link 5 monster, and there's only one other Link 5 monster that anybody plays that's not Underworld Goddess, and it's Borland.
This is Firewall Dragon, Dark Fluid, Neo Tempest, Terahertz.
True. Yeah, me and all my homies hate Cyber Sticks.
The Dawnscaper's just a cute little guy. Come on.
He is so. I want to kick him so bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
just so, punt him into the next like universe.
Yep. Yeah. I think so. The main interaction here is if you make Underworld Goddess and then you target an opponent's monster with this, you can use two of your opponent's monsters to make it. And because your monster is a Link 2, you can just use this Link 2, one of your monsters, and then two of your opponent's monsters to make the Goddess if you go into this first. I think that obviously is very strong, and it means that any three monsters basically turns into Super Poly. you just make this and something
else. Yep.
But
pretty much.
This card is basically a walking target. Please get rid of me now so that you don't have to deal with it later. I feel like it is strong, but it's like dedicated extra deck space. You have to also be playing the Goddess and have the space to play the Goddess. It's only good going second. Yeah. You can't like IP this. It's not a quick effect. So you can't be like end on this and prevent your opponent from summoning to the zones. Also, your opponent has to play into the zones, which is tricky to do because I think it's both the Geonator Transversor Zone and an Anima Zone.
I think so. It's top and top right, right?
Top and top right. So for your opponent.
Yeah, so
it's going to be their left side. Yeah, because if you summon it to it's going to be the two left arrows. And then if you summon it to your left EMZ, it's going to be their middle zone and then
the one directly in front. So yeah, so this is like something that I guess I can like bring up for like the little competitive knowledge is so all of the cards that you ever care about with zone placement, there's one thing in common with all of them. None of them can touch the zone closest to your deck. So if you ever have a monster that's like really, really important that you don't want to like get Geonator Transversored or I don't know, like this carded or Animud or whatever, you just put that monster closest to your deck and it's so safe. They can never touch it. So that's like one of those really like hyper niche micro plays that you can make that will just insulate you, like, you know, just in case your opponent plays those cards. Like, I always do that. Always, always, always. Whatever my most important card is, goes in the bottom right.
That's some deep cut knowledge for y'all. So, I think, I don't know. It's very hard to evaluate. So, I guess we'll find out. It also depends on, like, how good the removal is. And also, like, targeting an opponent's monster, they have to be in that zone. It has to be a monster that can't like clear itself from the field so that you're no longer on that effect. It can be like,
yeah,
this is good for like forcing effects out. I feel like if you're making a Link 2, you would probably rather just make like a Charmer or a Nightmare or something, but
probably
there's something here. And importantly, if we get other rank fives, shout outs to Palladius, if we get other Link fives, then this gets a
shout out to Palladius, the only rank 5 monster.
I've never heard of Artifact Durandal in my life. I don't know what Cyber Dragon Infinity is. Actually, Infinity's not even a rank 5. You just make it with 5s to make Nova.
Yeah, Nova's the 5, Nova's right? The yeah. Five.
See, I actually don't know any other rank 5s. That's crazy. Shout out to Chronomaly Vindata.
There's Tyrus, right?
Tyrus,
and the dark one.
Adreus is the dark one, I think.
Okay. There's Tyrus and dark one. I know those. Tyrus and
dark one. Welcome. Yep. Inside of you are two wolves. Tyrus and the dark one.
Okay. They both came in a collector's tin from like 2011.
True. Okay, that's enough for Moon of the Closed Sky, I think.
I think so.
Oh, there's one other. So one other tiny piece of Yu-Gi-Oh news before we just start talking about the game awards, I think.
So excited for that part. Yeah,
so we do have a, I love on our Yu-Gi-Oh podcast, we're so excited to not talk about Yu-Gi-Oh.
The best.
The last piece is that we did get the art for the Battles of Legend Volume 1 set. So this is kind of like the Legendary Duelist Volume 1, 2, and 3. Most okay. of the information we already knew. So we know that Galaxy Eyes Photon Lord is finally getting a reprint here. So it doesn't have to be $80 anymore. And Chaos Emperor, the Dragon of Armageddon, the prize card from the Armageddon set, is finally getting a reprint.
Let's go.
Finally, not, that card is also finally not going to be like $50 for no reason.
Yep.
I believe Zeus is in it. I might be wrong about that.
Oh, okay.
And then Yubel is getting a reprint. That was revealed by the artwork, and that is important because the Yubel support is in Phantom Nightmare. So Yubel was getting really expensive. Believe it or not, it does not have very many printings. They're all very old. So it's good that, that Konami was on the ball for this one, and they're making sure that Yubel's getting a reprint close to Phantom Nightmare release.
I found that Konami is actually really good about that too, like with reprinting cards like right around when you're gonna need them.
Most of the time, I think when they don't do it is when they miss when something is going to be good. So for example,
yeah,
Unchained. I think if they had the foresight that Unchained was going to be like a tier one meta threat that are like the best deck in some pockets of the format over that 6 months, they would have been like, hey, there's an OTS pack, let's print Rage and Abomination's Prison. But Abomination's Prison still moves between like $15 and $25, and Rage is still like between $6 and $15, depending on how good people think Rescue Ace is. that's what happens. That's what's
happening. You're so not wrong about like, that.
Oh damn! Like, wait, Rescue Ace is going to be top deck. We need to sell all of our Unchained stuff. It's going down. Oh no, actually, sorry guys, it's tier. Okay, we need to sell it even more. Nope, Unchained is back, baby. All right, Abomination's Prison to the moon. The last funny thing about the set is that they're reprinting the Astral Language Utopia. I don't know how I feel about that, because I'm somebody who's like, reprint everything into the ground, power to the people. But I think that approach only works best if you don't touch the collector stuff, because that's keeps everything else cheap for everybody, is having that high-end collector value stuff. I don't have a problem with doing different rarities of it. So if it's like an ultra rare Astral Language, sure. But like, I feel like it does kind of dilute the value of having those collector's items when you do it that way. So, but it is, I think it's very funny. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, interesting for sure. I don't know if we were gonna talk about this too, but we have Master Duel news, as well.
I forgot. I only have 140 hours. I'm not up to date.
It's okay. Do you want me to like take the rein on this?
This is your territory. Go for it.
True. So if you're unaware, if you play Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, we did just get a couple new packs. There's a new selection pack which introduced Manadium into the game finally. They don't have all their cards, but they do have some of their, you know, like their base stuff. And we also got the Despia support. So we have Quem now, we have Luluwaith, and we also finally got the Albion Sanctifier. So Puppet Lock is back on the menu because Expulsion has been banned for quite a while. I think the TCG actually, we lost that card forever ago.
They did.
It was before the
Mega Tins. Because I remember they banned it, and then they reprinted it in the Tins, which was very funny.
Yeah. Also Trivi Karma as well is in the game finally. So tier players, you know, they get something because tier is in the worst shape possible, like in Master Duel, it's so bad. Vicious Astroloud also came. But the thing that I'm excited about is Bestial Dispatter is finally in the game. So Dragon Link has even more toys in the format where their only hits is Chaos Space and Quick Launch to 2.
Chaos Space, they're like, no, okay, we actually have to hit Dragon Link. So Chaos Space and Quick Launch to 2. Still very, very, very good. Yep. Here's Dispatter. And also, on the off chance you want to play them, here's all the dragon rulers. Go
ahead. Yep. All the dragon rulers are back.
If you really want to do that, go for it. They also put out... So, yeah. The thing that I've seen people do with the rulers, and the deck is not good, but it's very funny, is they're doing the Tomahawk Turbo deck, but another card that came out is Ringo Worm is in the game.
Yeah.
And Ringo Worm is a card that didn't like really have a home in the TCG, but it turns out its home in Master Duel is with the freaking rulers, because Tomahawk summons tokens.
Yep, it does. But funnily, I've also seen it pop up in a few like Punk piles and potentially in Dragon Link too. I think I had one Dragon Link opponent do it to me. Because that's something I've messed around with. I never ended up doing it in the TCG because we lost Chaos Ruler by the time it came out. Yep. But it is a really, really strong card to hit off of Chaos Ruler, because obviously you've already Synchro Summoned. So if you mill it, you just get a free like Baron or Dispatter, which is never bad. So it's nice that it's around, you know, it's there. Also, they got the Gate Guardian cards, which is very, very funny, because I've queued into that a few times. So I'm like, oh, I wonder what this deck does. And then the answer is nothing. And it's like, oh, that's really disappointing. I really like those cards.
It's so funny because the fusions are kind of cracked. Like the Gate of Wind and Water is two spell trap negates, is you can use this effect twice per turn. It's not the water and thunder, the Gate Guardians combined, it's three negates for effects that target.
Oh my gosh.
Which is insane. The other ones do just a ton of damage, but it's just the rest of the deck doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I know.
I have made my big guy go.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If your cards don't target, you win. So
it doesn't. Although,
the feature match, the Gate Guardian deck that won a feature match at YCS London was very, very funny. That was very hype.
Absolutely. It's always great to see like rogue decks like just take it out of nowhere on feature matches.
So that's Master Duel, I guess. If you would like to play Monadium, wait for another set. If you want to play Dragon Link, now is the time, or always is the
absolutely
time. And
DC Cup coming up next weekend. Stage one has started, so make sure that you qualify so that you can grind for Worlds if you want to go to the World Championship.
And if you want to play Gate Guardian, I'm very sorry. Okay. So that's
Game Awards? Game Awards?
That is enough about Yu-Gi-Oh! So the back half of this is going to be the Game Awards. There's one announcement I know you were very excited about. Would you like to talk about our Lord and Savior Capcom?
Open World Monster Hunter is real. We got a new Monster Hunter game. Let's go. I'm so excited. I was talking with my Twitch chat about this because I hit Duelist level max for DC Cup stage one. And I was playing like some meme deck, right? Like I was really down bad. I wasn't doing very well. So I queued a 60 card Adventure Dragon Link Rose Dragon pile just for fun. And I went 11-2. And I just like cooked. I was like, okay, guess I'm done with this. But I was feeling kind of burnt out, a little bit tired. And I was like, somebody was like, oh, the Game Awards just started. Let's watch that. So we watched that for like 3 hours. And the whole time we were joking about a new Monster Hunter game, because I'm a huge, huge Monster Hunter fan. And I'm also a big Persona fan. So there was a new Persona trailer in the Game Awards. So that's where we started, is watching that. And then the rest of the time we were joking. Every time a new game would come on screen, we'd be like, oh, Monster Hunter. It's like, oh, no, darn. But nobody actually thought that there was going to be a Monster Hunter game. Literally. Like, we were all joking about it. Literally. And then very last reveal, like we were literally saying, do we just end the stream? Like they're not going to show anything. Like there's nothing worth showing. Like we all know Baldur's Gate is getting Game of the Year. Like we all know this. And then the Capcom logo comes up on the screen, and we're all like, there's no way. There's no way. And we see the great sword, like, on the screen. We see the dude riding in, and we're like, there is no way. We just manifested this. There is no way.
Manifest destiny. What can we say? So my,
I'm so happy.
Funny enough, I haven't played much Monster Hunter. The most amount that I did play, my first exposure to the series was on 3DS with
those games are good.
Monster Hunter 3. I played a lot of that on 3DS. Yep. But I haven't played Worlds yet. My little brother was a big Worlds fan for a long time.
Oh, I'm going to pill you on this game so hard. Do not let me talk about it.
I do like me a good collect-a-thon. I've heard it works out pretty well for that. Mentioned new trailer for Persona, the Persona 3 remake. I'm very excited for that as well. But the other Atlas RPG looks really pretty as well. It's the
true
Metaphor ReFantasio or whatever the name of it is. So
something like that. I remember it was really funny on the stream because I was like, oh, is this a fantasy game? And then the title card was, it's a fantasy. I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, Atlas knows what they're doing. It's Atlas, but it's a fantasy game.
Also, there was this was originally, they released a bunch of like trailers for this, I think, called Project ReFantasy. And nobody knew what they were, and there was like no word on this forever. And then they finally put this out. This to me is really cool because I think a lot of, I am somebody who comes from the Shin Megami Tensei side of the Persona fandom. I literally, in the other room, I just got from Video Games Plus for Black Friday, the Fall of Man Collector's Edition for Shin Megami Tensei 5, because they had it half off. Comes with a very cute Jack Frost bag, which is really nice. But
Jack Frost.
This to me feels like it is a game that fits between the two. It feels like a Shin Megami Tensei themes with Persona aesthetics, and that to me is you're
right up the alley.
What I love is exactly what I'm looking for.
Exactly. So, and I think this is the first new IP they've done since Catherine, right?
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see where that turns out. What else did I care about from the Game Awards?
If you need a minute to think about that, I know what I'm also very excited for other than Monster Hunter.
Give me the next big thing. Let's hear it.
Jurassic Park Survive. Game.
Yeah, it looks cool.
I have wanted that exact game since I was like 9 years old. I was the eighth person to follow the Twitter account when it was revealed. I was literally like the eighth person to click follow. I was like 30th on like the YouTube. I was on it so fast.
As a dinosaur enjoyer, I gotta agree. Having a Resident Evil type like survival horror Jurassic Park game sounds like the perfect way to use the franchise. I feel like
so good.
It's a way.
And the trailer was such, like, I'm a huge Jurassic Park fan. I think we talked about this a couple podcast episodes ago, but like it was just so packed with like film references and stuff. Like it was just so packed. It was such a love letter to like people who care about like Jurassic Park that like I know that they're gonna like do this justice. Like I already have faith.
True. So Sega did thing where they're like, actually we're making 5 games, bozos. You think we don't make games? We're making 5 of them. And personally, I'm excited for I don't know if it's going to be a remake. I don't think the trailer is very clear or if it's a new game, but Jet Set Radio. Jet Set Radio Future. Incredible soundtracks, extremely cool experience, and we just haven't had anything from the franchise in like a decade. So I'm very excited. If it's a remake, a remaster, I'm in. If it's a new game, thank you very much, but I'll take anything at this point.
The vibe I got from the trailer was that it was like remasters of all of their like big famous like games, because they had the Crazy Taxi segment too. That's the one I was like, oh man, like I want this.
I played way too much of that on the GameCube. I played so much Crazy Taxi.
Such a good game.
There's also I can't even remember the name of the franchise. It's Arthur. I don't remember it.
Arthur.
I'm mixing up characters completely. I'm thinking of Arthur from Ghouls and Goblins.
Like the kid show? Like the PBS show?
Not the PBS show. No. I'm thinking Marvel versus Capcom 3, Arthur. That's not what this is. It's something completely different.
There were some superhero games revealed. I think Suicide Squad is getting a game.
I could not care less.
Same. I was hoping that was your territory and you would jump on that, but like I'm not big on superheroes.
I've heard yeah. The Batman Arkham Asylum games are really good. I've heard yeah. Spider-Man is fantastic. I just can't do it anymore.
Too many superheroes.
I agree. Although I know there are people who are excited for Blade. So shout outs to you.
Yeah. Yeah, my Twitch chat seemed really excited for that. And I was just so confused because the trailer was just him getting a haircut. And I was like, what? And my chat was freaking out. I'm like, huh?
I think there are probably tons of trailers that we might see. And as people who are like not fans of our franchise, we're like, this doesn't make any sense. But like with Monster Hunter, you immediately saw the rider.
Literally.
I know what this is. For the Blade people, that was probably, that's probably what that was just some immediate recognition of something that just we don't have the context for.
I feel like I got that with the God of War. Because they're getting a free expansion.
That's a
W. Yeah, free DLC. Yeah, it's just such a W. Like, I love when like game studios do that. It's like, hey, thanks for enjoying this game. We've just done something for you guys.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess here's a question because I saw this come up on Twitter. Do you care about the awards at all? Are you just interested in the reveals? Is the award stuff interesting, or do you just want to know what the stuff is?
Like, I have never in my life watched an award show ever. Okay. And it was more that I had nothing like this was just, going on.
Just the Game Awards just happened to be on after you
did Rose Dragon. Literally. And then like I saw that they were doing like game reveals and stuff, and it's like, oh, stick around for this. But like I think that there's an element that's like fun for me of like guessing who's gonna get the awards. Because like there were a few moments where I'm like, oh, you know, the one that sticks out to me was like the best ongoing game, and it was a bunch of like live service games like Genshin, Fortnite, stuff like that. Yeah. And randomly Cyberpunk was in there, and I was like, oh, that's funny. And Cyberpunk then won the award, and I audibly was just like I just like yelled out, I was like, what? Because like it's not a live service game.
it is kind of weird. And I mean I think it because of all the memes that happened when it was released about like the game being like super buggy and very unfinished, it kind of like morphed into a live service game with all of the updates. So maybe that's why they qualified, is because they had to issue so many patches that they essentially became a live service game.
It must have. But I just thought it was so funny when it beat Fortnite, especially with Fortnite dropping like Lego Fortnite.
Yeah, here's all of this.
Which is apparently really good.
And also we're
going to
win no awards. Very cool. I have not played Fortnite in my life, but I have played a lot of the Lego games. So
I'm in the same boat. I'm right there with you. I feel like such a boomer. But like you hit me with that Lego Star Wars. Oh my God.
That's now I'm in. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, Game of the Year, Baldur's Gate 3. I haven't played it yet, but my twin brother and my little brother have told me that I have to, so I will probably be playing it sometime this month.
I need to go through and play it too. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say there's too much good stuff now.
I can't
play everything.
I'm so mad with Baldur's Gate because I feel like because the early access I think came out 3 years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember I got that day one, and I was playing it day one, and I was so excited. And I was trying to like stream it to my Twitch community, and no one cared. And I tried again a year later, a full year or two later, and I was like, because I had like grown quite a bit on Twitch, and I was like, all right, guys, we're gonna do Baldur's Gate, we're gonna take a break from Yu-Gi-Oh, and again, nobody cared. And now my Twitch chat will not shut up about asking me to play Baldur's Gate. And I am so mad.
Trish, can you turn off Master Duel? Can you go play Baldur's Gate? I guess the last thing I can think of to ask is there anything that you wanted to see at this year's Game Awards that didn't show up? Was there anything you were hoping for a reveal for that has no news at all? So one thing that I saw in the chat, everybody wanted Titanfall 3. And I don't have much experience with that franchise. Most of the stuff that I follow already got their reveals. Professor Layton revealed the trailer for the new Professor Layton game coming in 2025, which was very sad. So we both have to at least make it to 2025. So you can play Monster Hunter and then I can play Professor Layton.
Absolutely.
Any franchise that you're like, nothing has happened in a while, I want it back?
I mean, I guess I'll use this as a segue for something that I thought was funny, because not really, like, you know, the only games that I was like, I ever anticipate are Persona and Monster Hunter. Those are the only games I care about. Oh, and I got both of them.
So this was great for you.
And this was perfect. And then I got the like Jurassic Park, like as a cherry on top. And I'm over the moon tonight. So I am so up. But, you know, I'm also like a really big Fallout fan, or at least was.
Like 4 and 76 did some damage to you then.
I'm hurting so bad. So we got the Amazon show, which is cool. We got the little Todd Howard like spotlight cameo in the Game Awards. But the thing that like just stands out the most in my mind more than anything else was in the middle of the Game Awards. Like, it was about at exactly the halfway point, there was a commercial for Starfield, and I don't think Starfield won any awards all night, and it had fought, and it was a commercial like showing all of their perfect scores and everything, and just like a little title card that said, "We're so proud of the whole gaming industry and we want to thank all of the other creators," and blah blah blah, after like they just like flex all of their like perfect scores on their game that then proceeded to win no awards at all. I was just laughing so hard. Yeah, I was like, there's no way you did this.
I've heard people talking about Starfield as like the most mid Bethesda game, and it's like changed the formula in quite a while. I can't really say much, I haven't played it. I'm not just like a super
I've played
huge
it a little
of,
bit
I'm not a super huge fan of like open world exploration stuff. I don't know if it's just me, like I could never really get into Skyrim. I never really got into Breath of the Wild. I did play some Fallout New Vegas. That's the Fallout game I have the most experience with. I watched my twin brother play a lot.
Best one. That's the best one. That's literally the best game ever.
It is. My twin brother has an unbelievable amount of hours in that game.
I believe that. I fully believe that. But no, you're right. Like, it is the most mid Bethesda game, I feel like, because I don't know. Like, I really wanted to like Starfield, but something just feels off playing that game. And it's not even that they haven't changed up the formula in a while. It's just like, it doesn't feel like Bethesda put their best foot forward. Like, it doesn't even feel like they were trying with the game, which feels so weird, because it's like quote unquote open world, but it's like not. Like, the open world is, it's closer to No Man's Sky than it is to a Bethesda game. Got where it. It's just like you go to a menu and you click on in a planet, and the whole planet is procedurally generated, and there's like two procedurally generated dungeons, and you have to walk like an absurd amount of time across empty, boring terrain to get to it. And
yeah,
it just doesn't make sense, because Bethesda, the thing that was cool about Bethesda games is everything was handcrafted with love, and there was always something around another corner for you to go find.
Yeah.
And it is just not like that in that game.
I hope that's not a trend, because I know Elder Scrolls 6 will come eventually, and Skyrim, I think the reason it's lasted so long is because of exactly that, where there is something new around every corner. There's a book about the Argonian maid on one hand, you have like an incredible quest to just around the corner on the other. So the last thing that I was excited about, I can't believe I forgot about this. So the creator of Inscription is putting out another game, Pony Island 2. So Inscription, if you haven't played it, it might be something to put on your list. It's
fantastic game.
It is. It, have you played Inscription?
Yeah, yeah. I really like that game.
I had to tiptoe around Sunny because I didn't want to spoil him about stuff if he hadn't experienced.
There is a Yu-Gi-Oh! Reference if you're interested in playing the game. A really surprising Yu-Gi-Oh! Reference that is just comes out of nowhere. But
I might have actually missed that.
Yeah, yeah. There's it's towards the end of the game. It's towards like at the very, very end of the game. There is a huge Yu-Gi-Oh! like love section, because it kind of like Inscription is a huge love letter to card games in general. So like every card game that like has any kind of merit gets some kind of love and attention, like
the second area of the game is basically like the Pokemon trading card GBA game or the GBC
game.
So it pulls like a whole bunch from that. I must have totally missed the Yu-Gi-Oh thing as I was going through. I was so just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for the people listening. Like, I'll tell you after the podcast, like, if you want to know, like, I'll tell you, but
on that note, I think that is probably a good place to wrap it up for the evening. So as always, I will read the names that you horrible people have given me to read.
I'll brace myself.
I don't know that there's that much that's different since the last time you heard these. There are a couple of good ones. Okay, the person changed theirs.
Oh no!
Okay, I'll tell you what it was after. Okay, so thank you as always to Always Second Time Rizzard. Some terrible.
Okay,
so Zyphorus. At the One Epilogue, Big Stinky, Ding Dongs, Hostess of the Yang Zing, Give Me Some More, Drugussy, Konami, HZH Cyber, John Leal, Mountain Man, Oatmeal Spaghetti, Owen Alvarado, Pistol Plays Pendulums, Silver Hope, Skyhawk Over the Beatles. So if you don't know what this is, this is before your time. Sonny had an argument with one of his friends that he then posed to me, so now I guess I have to pose it to you.
Okay.
Who is a better band, Shinedown or the Beatles?
I don't even know who Shinedown is, so I'm just gonna go with the Beatles. I like the Beatles.
Okay.
Like, I'm a Beatles fan.
That's fair. So this caused some havoc. So now it's Skyhawk over the Beatles instead of Shinedown over the Beatles. GGYGO is on Team Shinedown. Understanding and reading are two different things. Virtually Savior's World, Vsauce, Star Frosting, D's Nuts, Wind Up, Carriers, and Fidel Mighty, Aaron Gardner, Alexander Chan, Asami, Ashless Chaps, Atsuyo, Simp of the Silver Castle, Blackwing, Silverwind the Ascendant is the best Floodgate, Blue Eyes is best Copium, Box Wine, Chubby Ninja, Come On and Get Your Game On, Dragon Maidenless Behavior, Ice Jade will win a YCS before Swo Swo. I don't know. I will see about that. That's a Sunday
maybe
post. I'm about to. I mean, listen.
You're about to what?
The cards are there. They have it not once per turn Rota. It's got to be grid. I'm about to Rika Glamour Tribute for cost. D's Plant Nuts in Your Mouth. Level 4, Fire Warrior Gaming, Little Stinky, Llama, Yama, Cam, Sarama, Max C Pack, Old Man Red, Pin Code 143, Sinful Spoils, and Do a Barrel Roll. Thank you all very much for listening to today's episode.
I think that's a fitting patron name to end on.
That's the Game Awards one. We're doing a barrel roll and we're getting... I put away.
It was this card pun. Do we have card pun?
I put away all of my Yu-Gi-Oh stuff, so you're gonna get an improv. You know, I didn't actually have a card pun for today because I was very unprepared, and I think that tracks.
It tracks.
That's what you get for 10 seconds. All right, have a good night, everybody.
I hate it here.
50-80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.